I love the preparation of the last song we sung together because if we truly believe that God exists and we truly live life in His presence, then everything about us will be changed. We'll long to bring Him glory, to display His holiness, to walk in obedience to His word. We'll long to have our life and our doctrine align so that those who see us see Jesus. We're conformed, Galatians 4:19, to His image. And yet so often, and I suppose it's the case also in Canada and sometimes even at Cloverdale Baptist Church, we fall short of that. We don't always acknowledge that He exists or practice His presence, live life coram Deo in His presence. We sometimes ignore His word or add to it or take away from it, following Eve and not Jesus. And sometimes we just go through the motions. If you have your Bibles with you today, and I hope that you do, we've been working through the book of Malachi, and we're in Malachi chapter 2. So if you could turn with me to Malachi chapter 2. I encourage you to be reading it every week. Some of you have shared already the life-changing impact of this book and some of the other things we've studied. And really, that's what God's word is for. It's to hold it up as a mirror to our lives, to adjust our lives to it, and to live as though God exists because He does. And this book, the book of Malachi, is a call to authenticity. They had come out of a troubled time. They had come back, now been in the land of Israel for about 100 years or so. The temple had been rebuilt, the restoration of the religious activity, and yet God was not pleased with them because even in that religious activity, they were acting as if God didn't exist. They were living what we would call today, I suppose, a convenient Christianity, not a count the cost following of Jesus. You'll know that as we work through this book, there are themes that repeat, and really as we study verses 1 to 9, we're going to see repetition from what we already have studied, although the focus intensifies, and this is a call for us to be authentic. It's going to get much more specific as we continue to study this book, God willing, in terms of what those specifics mean to treasure Jesus above all. But now what this book is going to do is kind of hold up a mirror to us and say, are you living in this kind of a way? It opens with these words, and now, O priests, this command is for you. O priests sometimes would make you separate from what is being taught here, so I want to be careful that we don't. As we study this, this is in God's word, and God's word is a map to real joy and relationship with Him. And so realize it's for you, even if you don't consider yourself a priest. Many of the commentators will say it's really for spiritual leaders, for pastors, and I would argue that that's true, although if we look at the New Testament, we discover that it's also for every follower of Jesus. For a priest's role was to present sacrifices for people. That's done in our high priest Jesus. But a priest's role was also to represent God to the world. And that now we call this the royal priesthood, or the priesthood of all believers, is for every single follower of Jesus. 1 Peter 2:5 states it like this: you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Those spiritual sacrifices in this context, your life, a life of purity, a full and absolute devotion to God, of God being your vision. 1 Peter 2:9 adds this: but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Here, again, that declaration, listen, if you know Him, if you have faith in Jesus, you now represent Him. And so this passage in Malachi is actually for you. Oh, I suppose more intensely for those who preach the word on a week-to-week basis like me, but certainly for all of us who represent Jesus. I hope this also causes you to pray correctly for your spiritual leaders and to live life for His glory. Revelation 1:6 even calls us a kingdom of priests, those who serve and represent Him. So as we read this, and now I'll just read the passage and we'll break it up, we'll slow down through it and seek to apply it to our lives. Think personally, think corporately, and think supportively of those who lead you, attributes of those who lead you. But now, O priest, this command is for you. If you will not listen, if you will not take it to heart to give honor to my name, there again, the theme from earlier on, honor to God's name, very important to him. In fact, the Bible would argue primary, says the Lord of hosts. We have said that's God Almighty, the one who rules over the heavenlies, the one who rules the angels and the demons and all things, the all-powerful God. Then I will send the curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Indeed, I have already cursed them, because you do not take it to heart. Behold, I will rebuke your offspring and spread dung on your faces. The dung of your offerings you shall be taken away with it. That's pretty strong, gross, vulgar language spoken by God. The dung of the offerings was to be taken outside of the camp and burned, and God saying, now, because your religious offerings are so vulgar, I will take that dung and throw it in your face. So shall you know that I have sent this command to you, that my covenant with Levi may stand, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant with him was one of life and peace with God and with others. And I gave them to him, and it was a covenant of fear, and he feared me. He stood in awe of my name, reverence, respect, all defining. We'll talk about this a little bit more, but name again meaning who he is, not just what he is called. True instruction was in his mouth, and no wrong was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness and turned many from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should guard knowledge, and people should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts, Almighty God. But you have turned aside from the way. You have caused many to stumble by your instruction. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. And so I make you despised and abased before all people, inasmuch as you do not keep my ways, but show partiality in your instruction. This is a frightening verse for all who are called to represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is a frightening verse, I think, for all of us. For if we lose sight of who he is, if we drop through familiarity a reverence of his name, the danger is pretty soon we will live for ourselves and not for him. We will be prideful and selfish instead of self-sacrificially loving one another. And we might still play church, but we will not pursue his glory. This is a warning for all. Very strong. So what's the warning? How do we hear it? And then how do we respond so that we can be those who are authentic and fully devoted to Jesus? That's what we're after. First thing I'd like us to know, it's from verse 2, set your heart to honor his name. Set your heart to honor his name. If you claim to be a follower of Jesus, if you name the name Christian, remember from last Sunday, change your name or change your conduct. Okay, let's change our conduct. Well, what's the driving passion? What's the heart focus of someone who knows God? And the answer is, it's to honor his name. Honor who he has revealed himself to be. Now, it's among the nations. We saw that. But now, very important, we know him. We know what the word says about him. We understand his character, his holiness, his purity, his sovereignty. In this passage, his all-defining power, the Lord of hosts. Verse 5 just simply restates this. It's not only found in verse 2, but verse 5, this concept of absolute devotion to his glory, to fear him. To hold him in awe, to revere his name, and show others by how you live that you actually believe he exists and he notices you. Setting your heart, this concept, make it your life's goal, make it your passion when you wake up in the morning. Oh God, take my life today and let it display how awesome you are. And by the way, it's not just in the big things, for if you make it just in the big things, you'll miss out all sorts of opportunities. That's why 1 Corinthians 10:31 would say, in everything you do, John Piper would call us drinking orange juice for the glory of God, make it your goal to show his greatness, to glorify his name. Is that your passion? When you struggle and you're suffering and things aren't going as you would like, is it your goal to show how awesome God is by responding to those struggles in a way that displays that he's your greatest treasure? See, now when I'm sick, I'm asking the question, how can I use the sickness to show the supremacy of Jesus in all things? Now when I'm not always happy with how people are responding to COVID, I'm saying, how can I use my unhappiness with their response to COVID to show my treasuring of Christ? See, it demands a heart's focus that chases away everything else. Where's your heart? Oh, it'll show in what you do, right? The core of who you are, what you truly believe, that root will always bear fruit. Here, what we're learning from Malachi, what we're learning from God, is that those who truly cherish and treasure God and believe the gospel will have this all-defining heart identity of saying, I long to honor his name. The reverence of God's name is essential to the ministry of God's people. If that becomes secondary, then convenience or creativity can cause us to lose sight of the glory of who he is. You know, in this culture, you're the only Bible that most of your neighbors will ever read. You're their first contact with Christ. How you live, how you drive, how you treat your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, how you function, how you talk, how that overflows. That's how people can know how great God is or how familiar and irrelevant he is. This is why it's so important to God. Because his people display who he is. And if your life is displaying a secondary kind of irrelevant God, then you don't know him. So functioning in Malachi is this longing from God, for God, that we would know him and respond to him and live for him in such a way that the honor of his name is our primary and overwhelming passion. So before we go on, here's a simple question. What drives you when you struggle? What causes you to leak your brain? Where does it go? In suffering, do you show Jesus? In joy, do you show Jesus? In entertainment, in how you spend your treasures, how you treat your wife or your husband. We're going to see the book in the coming weeks, God willing, take a magnifying glass to real life, but now it's just laying the foundation. Is the glory of God your primary passion? If it's not, this book, and I would argue this entire book, but for sure Malachi, will not make any sense to you at all. Secondly, set your heart to honor his name. Secondly, set your mind to honor his word. What makes a good priest or a bad priest? And the answer here is first and foremost, this passion to honor God's name. Secondly, a passion to know his word and teach his word with faithfulness. Or I suppose, priesthood of believers, to live his word with faithfulness. Set your mind to honor his word. Charles Swindoll was telling a story after a morning service. A man stopped him and he said this, I've waited to the end to talk to you because I've got a question that may take you a long time to answer. I want to know from you, what is the truth? I've heard you talk. I've listened to you preach. What do you mean when you refer to the truth? And Swindoll says, this is from him, his words. He held up his Bible and he said, this is the truth. Oh, brother, oh, sister, do you honor God's word? Do you long to know it and then to reflect it and to obey it? Do you long to not add to it or take away from it? In this text, verse 2, verse 6, verse 7, it's just overflowing saying, listen, God's word matters. It's how we know his name, love his name, and obey what he wants and be who he wants. Do you love his word? How does that show? Well, you'll memorize, you'll meditate, you'll long to be around God's people and the word of God being preached. You'll treasure his word. You won't show partiality. What does that mean? Verse 9. It means you're going to be someone who says, I want to obey it all. I want to know it all. I long to be loyal to God, and I'll do that by being loyal to his word. You know, it's interesting. 2 Timothy 3:7, although I suppose you can see this throughout the history of Israel, 2 Timothy is talking about the end times. The end times people will be always learning but never able to acknowledge the truth. Oh, that defines the age we're in now, does it not? Always learning, always gathering information, but never really able to acknowledge the truth. Acknowledge here, submit to, surrender to, follow. Open eyes, open hearts, longing to make his word what we follow and how we know him. You know, in history, those in our ilk, the Protestants, have been accused of being Bibleolaters. I don't know that that's possible. I certainly have never seen it in my life. But listen to how God views it. Isaiah 66, verse 2. All these things my hand has made, creator of all things. And so all these things came to be, declares the Lord, Yahweh. But this is the one to whom I will look, or NIV, I esteem, look here, look with favor. He was humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. Perhaps even stronger, Psalm 138, verse 2, I'll read it in context. I give thanks to you, O Yahweh, with all my heart, before the gods, before the false gods, before people who don't trust in you. I will sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness, for who you are, how you've revealed yourself, for you have exalted above all things your name and your word. I think I've told you this before, but in Hebrew, it's actually worded differently. I think this is a good translation, but in Hebrew, you've exalted above your name your word. In other words, how do we know him? We honor and follow and know and obey the word of God. If you want to hear God speak to you, read his word. If you want to hear him speak to you audibly, read it out loud. This is how he communicates. This is how we know him. And we need to be a people that don't set it aside in convenient Christianity, but hold it with all of our might and follow it, because in our minds we long to honor the word of God. We need to be a word-saturated people. What made John Bunyan so powerful in the pulpit, and I believe also in his books, was that, as Spurgeon would say, if you pricked him, he bled bibline. He just spent all of his time in the Word. How much time are you spending in the Word? Oh, yes, to know him more, not just to gather information, but notice in this text how important knowledge is. And yes, we'll see that it impacts your life, but notice it's the Word of God that bears the fruit that pleases God. Listen to him. Hear him. Honor his name and set your mind to know his word. Thirdly, set your feet to his pattern. I suppose this is just Matthew 7. This is what the children acted out for us. This is hearing the word of God and following it. It's not enough just to know it. You need to know it and treasure it and keep it. You need to actually move your life so that it aligns itself with God's word, and you're actually living out God's word. It is actually dominating how you live. Verses 5 and 6 declares this. My covenant with him was with Levi was one of life and peace with God. And I gave them to him. It was a covenant of fear, and he feared me. He stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and no wrong was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many away from iniquity. He was one who knew my word, followed my word, taught others to obey. The life pattern was one of authenticity to what he said he believed. One of the great scholars of the Old Testament says this about these words. These blessings were the result of total commitment to the commandments of God. Goes on to say, live in full accord and harmony with what God has taught in his word is where peace and life are found. Are you walking with God? I mean, that's what Malachi is saying. Malachi is saying, listen, there's a massive mess in the people of God. I think the Canadian church needs to hear this. There's a massive mess because God loves us and he's sovereign in his love. And God has called us to honor him. And sometimes instead of honoring him or bringing glory to his name, our focus is elsewhere. Sometimes instead of being word saturated, we're world saturated. And sometimes instead of living in obedience to his word, we live however the flesh or the distracting demonic realm demands, and we avoid bringing glory to his name because we are so filled with distractions. Malachi is so important for us to hear. Setting our hearts to honor God's name, setting our minds to honor God's word, setting our feet to honoring God's pattern. It's all that we are and all that we have, responding rightly to who he has revealed himself to be. Christianity, authentic Christianity, is not just a transaction. Oh, it's transactional. God gives us the righteousness of Jesus that the gospel so profoundly displays, and we receive it and then live for him. It's transactional, but it's so much more than that. It's relational. And what Malachi is shouting out to us, especially in the early part, it's going to get more specific and I suppose more meddlesome in your life because it's so specific. But for now, it's just saying, big picture, are you someone who wants to honor God's name so deeply that you look at every opportunity in your life as an opportunity to display that you treasure Jesus above all? Are you looking to the word and saying, I want to know it, I want to love it, I want that displayed by how hungry I am to memorize and meditate and listen to messages that are loyal to the word and read, and I just long to know what God's word says? And then are you one who not only hears it but obeys it? I suppose the message of Malachi is simple, and yet for so many, one that they avoid because it's a call to authenticity. I want us to hear it. I think, again, Cloverdale Baptist Church is filled with so many authentic believers, but we would be wrong to not know that some here are Christian in name only, that some here think they're followers of Jesus but are busy in the world playing religious games but avoiding the radical relationship with him that he demands. So I suppose for all of us, a wake-up call, I hope for some, a chance for new life. How do we respond? How do we apply God's word today? Well, I'm going to do something that I, when I teach preaching, say preachers should never do. I'm basically going to just outline the message in the book to you again, but try to be a little more specific. And I know the Spirit of God, when the word of God is preached, takes that word and applies it, but I'm going to now try to slow down with you and just walk through what it says. Basically, we have to be those who believe in the God of the Bible, that he is who he says he is, and there is no other, and we don't have any options to change him. You've heard R.C. Sproul's story, I'm sure. I've told it before, of a mountain climber. He's climbing on this mountain. He's on a cliff. He's doing well, and then all of a sudden he slips, and he tries to grab, and he's going down, and he's able to grab a branch. Kind of maneuvers himself up, realizes there's no hope for him. He's holding onto this branch, and so finally, at the end of himself, he just goes, God, God, if you're up there, I need help, and I need it now. Pleads again, God, if you're up there, I need help, and I need it now. And all of a sudden, an answer comes from heaven, and it's God, and God says, I'm here, and if you do what I say, I'll save you. And the hiker says, well, I'll do whatever you say. And God says, well, I want you to let go of the branch. The hiker continues to hold onto the branch and then shouts out, is there anyone else up there? See, I think sometimes we do that because the Bible is countercultural. Treasuring Christ above all means everything else is secondary. It means we look at everything in our lives as an opportunity to display the beauty of who he is and the glory of his gospel. And so we say, there is no one else up there. The God of Malachi, the messenger of God, is the God of Cloverdale Baptist Church. So how do we respond? First, we need to know God through his gospel. Know God through his gospel, meaning simply this: God is holy, holy, holy. He hates sin, and he is just and righteous and wrathful. I suppose Malachi displays that, but so many in our culture just want a God that wants to hug you, a God that's contingent on you and your response, that is unconditional in that display and doesn't look for relationship, but rather lets you rest in however you want to live, and that is not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is here, and he cares, and he's real. then he's holy, he's absolutely pure, he's set apart so that any sin that we do, any sin that we have, separates us from him and places us at war with him. But God, many scholars say the greatest words in the whole Bible, but God, rich in mercy and love, sent Jesus to live a perfect life, to die on the cross, shedding his blood for our forgiveness, rising again from the dead and saying to us, if you but believe in me by grace through faith, I will give you my righteousness. I will give you my life. I will display my love in you and through you. And when Jesus declared on the cross, it is finished, it meant it is paid in full. Every sin that those who believe in him have ever committed, will ever commit, and for all eternity we will spend our life with him in glory. See, the God of the Bible does not diminish his awesomeness. He displays it in Jesus. The perfect holiness of God meeting with the absolute and incredible self-sacrificial love of God, and that explosion gives us life in him. Do you know this God? Not one that's apathetic, but one that's looking for your all-in devotion, that Romans 12, 1 to 2, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice to him. Oh, we need to start with the gospel and stay with the gospel, but we also need to realize the gospel is not simply transactional, but it's a call to an intimate and all-defining relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Are you willing to step in not only to a decision that saves you from damnation and hell, but a decision that places you in a relationship that's all-defining with Jesus? Peace, joy, full devotion. Know God through his gospel. Secondly, set your heart to honor God's name. This is for everyone here that claims to be a follower of Jesus. Make it your first and last thought as you begin the day, as you end the day, and then all throughout. God, today, what good works, Ephesians 2:10, what good works have you prepared in advance for me to do? What have you given me so that my life will display how awesome your gospel is? Who are the people you want me to self-sacrificially love? Who are the people you want me to serve? Who are the people you want me to share your joy or encourage or be a part of? You are God's, now if we use New Testament words, kingdom of priests. He has chosen in his sovereignty to use us to display the beauty of who he is and to respond to him with full devotion and absolute surrender so that everyone can know how awesome God is. I mean, that is an amazing privilege and a powerful, all-defining life goal. Set your hearts, the whole being of who you are, to show how awesome God is. I mean, ask the question every time you get a hiccup in your life, and hiccups will come and they'll come often. Anyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. When hiccups come, set your mind to say, click in, reminders, however you can do it, to say, God, use me, use this, use my life to display how awesome you are. Let this situation show how much I treasure you. So then cancer or COVID or chaos in relationships, or floods, or fires will not be wasted, but will display the worthiness of his name. Thirdly, basically following the outline, set your mind to honor God's word. Set your mind. So your heart says, I want to show in everything how awesome he is. That this is not easy. And I think one of the reasons why the Canadian church is so anemic is because we have replaced the word with the world. And so we talk about worldly things more than we talk about Jesus and the gospel. We aren't sharing our view of Jesus and the gospel with others. We're sharing our view of so many other things. Be saturated with the word. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Then let it overflow and sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs to one another so that we will glorify God, so that we will do everything in his name. Meaning, right? This is Colossians 3. Meaning, everything we do will glorify him. Make time for God's word. Share it with others. Don't coast, or it will lead to chaos. Fourthly, So again, just to remind you, know God through his gospel. Set your heart to honor God's name. Set your mind to honor his word. Truly do it. Take action steps to do it. Lastly, we could call this just obey. I call it set your life to walk worthy of his calling, using New Testament language. But see your life as an opportunity for obedience. Choose to live relationally. Choose to live as though God exists because he does. And so when you come to his word, you're not like those described in Matthew 7:21. Many of you will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, do we not do all these religious things in your name? And Jesus responds, depart from me, I never knew you. And then he tells a story. You know the story well. A wise man builds his house on the... Little feedback. Yeah, thank you for kids that were at camp. Help people. Let's do this. A wise man builds his house on the... A foolish man builds his house on the... Okay, and adults, you can do this too. You want to try? It's not hard. Wise man builds his house on the... At home, are you doing it? Because our adults here are a little... Let's try one more time. Because this, if we get this, right? Now we're saying, okay, God, feed me and I'll live for you. Feed me and I'll live for you. We're not saying feed me and I'll coast. All right, ready? A wise man builds his house on the...
Rock.
Foolish man builds his house on the...
Sand.
And what's the difference between the rock and the sand? Very interesting here. It's hearing the word of God and doing nothing with it. That's sand. Storms come and it collapses. Rock, that's hearing the word of God and saying, I'm going to obey whatever the cost for the glory of my king. Will you build your house on the rock? Yes, it's relationship with Jesus. But in Matthew 7, that relationship is displayed by choosing to obey whatever the word of God teaches. Oh, Malachi is so rich and so practical. So don't come to a passage like this and hear the words, oh, priests, and go, it's just for pastors. It is for pastors. But it's for everyone who represents Jesus to the world. Which means it's for everyone who names the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for the depth of care you have for your name. Oh God, forgive us when we are apathetic, where we don't fear you, but we focus on other things. Forgive us when we ignore your word or fill our minds with worldly things. Forgive us for when we don't see the pains of life as opportunities to display your power and your gospel. And would you fill us with your Holy Spirit so richly today and beyond that we would walk in obedience to you. That we would work with all of our might to see every opportunity in our lives to display the richness of your name, the glory of who you are, and we would be practical and powerful in our response to your person so that our lives, through the power of the Spirit, would be driven and defined by our relationship with Jesus in obedience to his word. Thank you so much for the book of Malachi. Thank you so much for Cloverdale Baptist Church. Oh God, work in this place and through this place to bring deep obedience and mission accomplishment. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.